he did you a favor, because you're like, oh, well, then you're clearly, yeah, you're right. You're not going to be the guy. Like, you don't want to quit her.
No, no, absolutely not. Like, it's too important to me. I was just curious, like, you know, I guess in previous relationships too, like, guys usually want to go for the toys quickly because they do make me come faster. But, like, I want the person that I'm with to be able to make me, you know, have an orgasm themselves and, like, not always have to use toys.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. We all want to grow and become better versions of ourselves, am I right? Well, nowhere is that more true than our sex lives. Well, that's the mission of today's call-in show, which I love these call-in shows. I love talking to you directly about everything that's on your mind. And today, I answer your questions all about picking up new sex skills from a fun-loving couple who wants to incorporate others into their play, but they just can't find the right candidates, to a 20-something, she wants to learn how to squirt on her own. These callers are really brave, and their questions offer something for everyone to learn from. All right, intentions with Emily. I'm going to start off by setting intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. Well, my intention is to help you learn how to approach new sex skills with curiosity and an open mind, all while honoring your specific desires. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show and check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, do it. Leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show, and totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Today's show is brought to you by Magic Wand. More on them at the end of the episode. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. We have Ava, 27, in Boston. How could I help you? What's going on?
So basically, to like sum it up, so I've had, let's say, 10 partners in my life. Only two have made me finish, which I feel like is a pretty low statistic, although I know it's easier said than done and everyone's different. But the main thing that I don't like is, so I've been in relationships all my life, and now it's like the first time I've been really single, and I hate the fact that if I want to squirt, it's up to a man. I have to find a man. I have to have him know what to do. I have to rely that he knows what he's doing. And it's just like, for so many reasons, I don't want that. I wish I, you know, could take that power and be able to do it myself. And also, like, when people ask, they're like, oh, how do I do it? I'm like, I wish I knew, you know. The two people who have helped, who have done it, I don't know what they did, you know? So I just don't like that dynamic.
Got it. You don't want to be reliant on, okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that. Well, first I want to say this, is that it's actually pretty common to have been with two partners, three partners, several partners, where they're not giving you an orgasm. because you're responsible for your orgasm.
Right.
Right? We got to figure out what we like. So you have to figure out, well, what feels good to me? And then have to like take the time and explain to these guys like what you actually like and what feels good. Because I am only telling you because I was the same boat as you. I used to be like, that one didn't make me orgasm. And he sucked. He didn't make me orgasm. And then it wasn't until I was like in my 30s that I was like, oh, I don't even know how to do it myself. I used to believe that like men were shipped off to some secret school where they learned everything about like my body, and they knew, like, they like, he knows what to do.
If only.
But they don't know. So you got to teach them. But as far as squirting goes, so what I'm hearing is you're asking me, like, how do I squirt? What do I do? It happened in the past. Well, do you remember what happened in the past?
Yeah. So what I, as much as I know, I know, again, everyone's different, but for me personally, it's like the exact G spot. So up and curved. I know that the tricks and everything, I have yet to be able to do it. I've used toys and they don't help. I also, from what I recall, I don't like the feeling of vibrations, which I know I'm in the minority of that. Maybe I just haven't had a good one or I haven't had a good experience, but from, I've tried a few times, they were years ago, but like, I just remember not liking that feeling. And it's also like the clit, I feel like a lot of people, that's where it's at. For me, I'm like, yeah, for a little bit, but it's mainly just penetration and penetration only, and specifically fingering. And what's interesting, I know my body so well that if I like squirt,
I love
from,
this.
Yeah. So if I squirt from fingering, I will be able to squirt again from penetration, but it needs to happen from a finger. And it will happen like many times after that first time, but that's how.
So what you're saying is vibrations don't feel as great. And this is also common too, that for some vulva owners, vibrations, like they're almost too sensitive. It's too much. But what you're saying is that most of your pleasure and your orgasm are coming from penetration, from either a finger or a penis inside of you. And you actually have an orgasm. And sometimes you've squirted with that orgasm. Okay, cool.
Well, that's the thing. So that's the other thing that I didn't know. I didn't know if like squirting and orgasm were like hand in hand, or they square and circle. Like
they're hand in hand. You can orgasm and not squirt. You can squirt and not orgasm. But there are cases where you orgasm and squirt at the same time, which is just wonderful. But they all, yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, so that's why it's even more confusing, because I definitely know I've squirted, but I honestly don't know I've ever had an orgasm then.
Okay.
I don't think okay. so, but I know I've squirted. So I feel like I've gotten at least close, or maybe it's been some overlap where there's been a case I orgasmed and squirted, maybe, but I don't know.
Okay, this is good. Okay, so you would probably know if you orgasmed, but you're saying you tried a vibrator and it was too sensitive?
It was just like, it just wasn't doing it for me. Then again, I just maybe wasn't doing the right, like, one or, like, the right way. This was many years ago, so I don't really remember.
Okay, well, let's just forget the vibrator for a second. Have you ever masturbated? Have you tried on your own?
Yeah.
With your fingers and some lubricant and just like sat down and you're like, I'm settling in. I'm going to try to do this.
Yeah. And I'm definitely still like in the very early beginning stage of it, just because since I've been in a relationship in my life, I don't know how to do it very much.
Yeah.
I have zero experience with it. So I'm still figuring it out. I have a toy that doesn't vibrate and that helps, but it's still like, I can't get that, you know, exact spot that I know will help me.
The come hither motion.
Right.
It sounds like you have a dildo, because dildos don't vibrate. So how you do it is with the finger is it's about 2.5 inches inside, and it is, or an inch and a half, two, depending, we're all different. It is stimulating the G spot with like a come hither motion, right? With either one or two fingers, like towards the belly button. And what really helps first is to be really aroused and to have a clitoral orgasm first, which where I would recommend is basic masturbation practice, where you are setting aside time to just sort of breathe, like a little mindful masturbation practice where you're just kind of breathing and you take time, like you turn off your phone and you just sort of focus on the sensations on your body that you feel just with your hands, and making sure that you're using lube. And you want to start like outside of, you don't go right for your clitoris, but externally, like the labia majora, the vulva, the external part, your inner thighs. And you just start to like use a light touch with your fingers. Oh, maybe this is a good time for a vulva puppet. Do you want to hand me the purple vulva puppet in the corner? I'm going to show you what I mean here. So there's your clitoris, right? Your clitoral hood. So when you get aroused, this goes back. But I'm talking like this kind of sensation where just like using fingers and you're teasing yourself like outer labia inside and you're touching like really light. Like it might even be over the fabric of your underwear. And you always want to use lube, just saying. I love Playground Lube. They're a company that I'm just obsessed with. But water-based lube and just start to use your fingers and then just to see, like get curious. What am I feeling right now? Does that feel good? Does that feel bad? And then you want to start to like escalate the touching and you'll start to, you can even helps to tense and relax your pelvic floor. So you do like a Kegel or a few of those because that's stimulating it and you just kind of breathe and start to see if you can get sensations. And because how you're going to find the G-spot and squirt is when you're already or aroused. So it helps to already have a clitoral orgasm before you go inside and try to have another orgasm or squirt. So that's why I'm saying like, let's just start you teasing on the outside, play with the clitoris. If you want to try another toy, maybe you could get like a vibrating toy that just is like, you know, most of them these days have a bunch of settings that like, maybe it's just like a really lower setting toy that you need to use. I love Jeju products. Like one of my favorites was the Jeju Mimi that I was like my first toy ever. And it fits in the palm of your hand. And for me, that was one that I like really learned my body on. And then I would like tease yourself with that. Then once you have that orgasm or you're aroused, then you can go inside with a finger or a toy. I could give you some recommendations for some dildos that might hit your G-spot better.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was wondering. If I didn't know if there was like specific shaped toys or like generalized toys that I should like aim towards for this specific purpose to squirt.
Yes. So there are G-spot toys. I would recommend the Hera, H-E-R-A. It's by Jeju. It's like the rabbit stimulation. So you have the internal and the external stimulation. And it's like made of like body safe materials. They have like deep rumbly sensations. I totally recommend that one. And being patient because it takes some time to figure out your own body. But then once you get inside, either with fingers or a toy, you just continue to, when you're aroused, apply pressure to the G-spot, like straightforward pressure. And then that's where the release happens and where many vulva owners squirt.
Yeah, it's crazy because like the time that I've squirted a lot, it's violent. Like the amount of like how fast and how hard you have to go. I swear people are like scared to go that hard because it looks and feels like I'm being hurt. Like, I don't like how like aggressive it is.
It doesn't have to be that aggressive. So I understand why, because they're hitting the spot and it's going really fast. And I totally understand what you're saying, but that's just because the experience you've had with a partner. But the great news is with one of these toys, you won't have to go that hard.
Okay.
Fast.
Okay.
It'll be much more like gradual. And here's another tip. Like, I don't know if this will work for you, because again, everyone has to remember this, that literally every single vulva owner is different. And so like, I know they've worked for many people, not just me. So I feel good about my recommendations. So Magic Wand's been around forever. They have this mini vibrator. It's called the Magic Wand Mini. But the Magic Wand is a very powerful vibrator. And now they've made it mini size. But either model that you get, the bigger one or the smaller one, there's a lot of women who have reported squirting. It's an external toy, but when you place it over your pubic mound externally, there's indirect stimulation to your G-spot. And a lot of women are squirting because of that toy as well, because the vibrations are so incredible, intense, and deep that it can stimulate you and hit your G-spot and you can squirt that way. Very common. And then you got to call me back in a month and let me know about all your squirting and orgasms.
Yeah, I hope there's plenty to report.
But be patient with it and just keep communicating.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course. Bye, Eva. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks a lot. I always recommend, remember that you are responsible for your own orgasm. You do your own work on that. And there are some products I mentioned. I mentioned the Jeju because I love them. But I just want to tell you that you can use code EMILY30 right now for 30 off all their products. And yeah, remember, toys, fingers, hands, penis, however you get there is all good. Just keep trying. Keep getting to know your own body because you're going to become the expert of your own orgasm and your own body. We have Alex and Autumn, and they're calling from Florida, a couple. I love when couples call together. Tell me what's going on.
We are looking to open, I guess, our sex lives up with maybe partner play, threesomes.
And more sums.
And more sums, yeah. But the other, I guess, aspect that we also want and we're struggling with is we also want like friends, if that makes sense. We want more of a friendship first, then have fun in the bedroom.
Benefits, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been on field, haven't had much luck there. We were on SDC. We had some luck there, but then it kind of got rocky. We started a group chat. Mm-hmm. We thought things were going well and great. And then we set up a date to go have drinks. And then it kind of went downhill going into that week. They were kind of pushy, and I'll let Autumn explain more.
Very, very pushy. There was like a clear question of boundaries and what boundaries were to be set and observed. And those boundaries were constantly being pushed by the female half of the couple. I've already suffered from anxiety, and it had just become so much more at that point where I said, I'm just not comfortable going and spending time with these people. Like, I don't even want to continue conversing with them.
Yeah.
So I talked about it to my husband when we got home, and he said, oh, I'm so glad you feel that way, because I feel the same way too. Let's just kind of call it quits. We did that. We had another couple actually just ghost us. We were in a group chat with them, and they just kind of dipped.
It was kind of like a pick collector. And I was like, okay, like, so it really put like a bad taste in our mouth. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out how to navigate, like, I guess that dynamic of what we were trying to look for, what we're looking for, and looking to see if you can guide us in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first I want to say, I think it's awesome that you both are being really closely communicating about it. Because usually if you got a weird vibe about someone and you got one, like, it's just good to say it. And mostly, and that goes for life too. Like, our intuition is very strong, and a lot of times we override it. So if someone's giving you drama and you're looking for a play friend, like, we don't need that in the bedroom at all. Yeah. So maybe you could paint a picture for me again. Like, what's the vibe? Like, you also have times where you just hang out, but there's no sex.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Like a friends with benefits type situation. We're not going into it where it's just, we're looking for like a one night stand or just some random fun. Right. We'd rather have a friendship first for the foundation, and then to build from there.
Yeah.
With a couple, right? Not just with a single woman. Okay.
Preferably a couple, but.
Okay. Preferably a couple. I'm just curious. Do you have any close friends that you guys go out to dinners and hang out with already?
That's the other part of our relationship is we work crazy schedules.
Yeah.
We don't really have that
capability of going to dinner on
and a whim. I guess we don't really feel comfortable doing that with work partners, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We spend, you know, 8 hours. Yeah, we have
a good reputation with friends from work.
Yeah. But you don't want to bring this into work.
That boundary, another boundary you don't want to cross.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We're not there yet in this world that we can all talk about it at work. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you're looking for the friends with benefits, but in your real life, you don't really even have time right now for friends, which I get it. We've all been, I've been there at times in my life. Like, what happened to my friends? All I do is work. So the dynamic, this dream scenario of like a friend that you can hang out with, you might not really even have time to, because that takes, you know, how you make good friends usually is you spend time together, right? Repeatedly, consistently, whether it's like you talk to them once a week or you see them once a month. And so that would have to be like a carve out time that you guys make time for. You're like committing, like, we want this person to be in our life. Like, what does that look like for you? Is it once a month? Is it, you know, once a week? I mean, I know it's going to depend on the person, but it's really thinking about that, like, and then making space for it, like everything in life where we put our attention on, it's really what we're going to manifest, what's going to happen. It's so fun to do that. I know, like, manifesting or just knowing, but missing that word. So like, you're like, what do you mean manifest? I'm going to dream about the couple and they're going to drop down the chimney, but just getting clear, they might. Well, the clearer you get and like, this is what you want. This is what the person's vibe. Like, this is what they look like or what we do with them. Like, also another great place to meet couples, like, I would suggest Field, because that's seems to be the one that everybody uses. There's another app I worked with a few years ago called #open. They were a sponsor, and I really liked the people who started it. They had really great intentions around it. So I think it's just like a numbers game. Like, everyone who's like, I'm on the app, so I can't find anyone who's cool to even date. You guys have had a few bad experiences, but you're going to learn from all of them. And just saying, like, where else can we expand this network? I think some couples also use Bumble and Tinder, but that's mostly, I think, for a third. I'm not sure if people do couples, but maybe they do. I actually don't like have a specific rec for that. But what I can say is, like, what's the friends part you're going to do with this friend? Like, are you going to go to movies? Are you going to play tennis?
Yeah.
I think it's all aspects of that. Like, we live fairly close to the theme parks because we're in Orlando. So we could always do like theme park dates. We could do like movies. We could go shopping, grab coffee, grab ice cream. There's a lot to do. It's just
okay.
The other aspect is, because we live so close, we get a lot of transit on the app.
Yeah.
So like, we'll match, but then they're like, oh, we're only here till, you know, X amount, X date. And it's like, well, you know, it's not really something that we're looking to do. So that's the other struggle that we're having as well.
Okay. Well, what do you guys mean? Maybe be some good goals for your relationships to like start things outside, like on the weekends. What do you guys do when you're not working? Do you guys like?
Huh.
We spend time with family.
Yeah. Spend a lot of time with family.
Takes up a lot of our time.
So I live for my family, I live about an hour away, and they're always like, well, why don't you come over for dinner? And usually on the weekend I'm off and she's at work. So that's the other other struggle is trying to get on the same schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, I think another reason you had mentioned why we were interested in exploring with a couple is because if I'm always not available, there's something to do, something for someone for him to spend time with as well. So that's another aspect of why we would be more interested in building a friendship first and then progressing from there, is because we have people that we can spend time with when we can.
Yeah.
Outside of our norm.
Yeah.
Got it. I mean, I think meetups are the best place to go for some of these things. And just like thinking about, like, how would you make friends if you were going to make friends? Because that's where, like, you know, they always say, like, we also meet some of the best partners for us when we're out doing things that we already like doing. There's also like what other might be a great thing, like find a play party or like a swinger party near you, because you don't necessarily have to swing. You can go to these parties or play parties, as they call them now. You don't necessarily have to take your clothes off or have sex with anybody, but you might have fun kind of exploring and you might meet a cool couple that's in your area, because these parties are more exclusive. And I don't know who it is in your city, but usually you can find it through the apps or just Google it literally.
Yeah,
cool. Google play parties in your town. Like, okay, we just found this. My producer just found Poly Dating Florida Orlando. Polyamory.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. Orlando Polyamory, right? So if they have groups or lunches or whatever, like go to one of those events and meet those people and see if you like anyone. And that's a great non-threatening place to do it. Like, you're not walking in there and everyone's naked. They just want to meet other cool people too.
So that's the other part too. We've been asked to go to an adult club or a lifestyle club, is what they call it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's been kind of intimidating, at least for me. And I don't know, maybe you, we haven't really gone down that path, but intimidating for us, because we don't want to get that bad experience that we first had where they were pushy and wanting us to go into a room. And yeah, it's kind of like intimidating, I guess, would be the best way.
No problem saying no.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. I feel like you should try it again, because I've been to some fun lifestyle parties. I've been to some that I'm like, no, there's no one in here. I've not with couples. Sometimes it was early on in my career, it was like research. And then I've gone with partners times. We just want to check it out because it's kind of hot. So there's really no pressure, I think, in a lot of these places. And you just kind of like have boundaries. Just be like, we're not interested. And then you'll start to get your confidence, because you realize like, oh, there's no pressure for us to perform. And I found in most of these places that you go in and people are also pretty like, there's strict rules and people usually do follow boundaries. But that's just where I've been in California. So I'm not sure how it is there, but I would just kind of like how you know the people you want to hang out with. You'll get a good vibe from them.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Definitely check it out. Yeah.
Okay, good. You got this. But don't, you know, I understand why you're discouraged, but just, you know, keep trying if it's what you want. You'll find those people. Why not explore? Monogamy is great for majority of couples, but for some, it's just not. And we don't see great examples in our culture about how you can have a different kind of relationship. It can be really discouraging. So it feels good to me that we are just hearing now from couples who are much more open to seeing what else is out there. Let's take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more sex tips from our live callers. Don't go anywhere. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Our next call is Alan, and he's in his 60s. What's going on, Alan? Tell me everything.
So wife and I just, well, thanks to you, help with setting boundaries and that kind of stuff really worked. So we had our first threesome. Actually, we did it twice, same girl. First time was, okay. My wife and I set the pretty good boundaries with us. We just didn't do it very well with her. So, but we did that the second time, and man, it was a blast. I think I've heard you say before, you know, the reason you kind of do one is you fantasize about it afterwards. So that's right. That's kind of been the fun part also.
Oh, good. I love it. You kind of replay it back like your own little audio porn, right? Like, remember when this happened and that happened? Cool. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
I think what helps too is just when I think my wife couldn't get any hotter, she got her medical marijuana license.
That works too.
And sativa yeah. is our friend.
Say more about that. How so? Like for your sex life or just?
Yes, sex life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like smoke it, like take a hit or eat a gummy and then.
Yeah, we're gummy people.
Okay, you're gummy people. That's great. So you take a gummy and then you kind of get in the mood. It can definitely help with arousal for sure. You're saying though you had first experience, not a lot of boundaries, which again, that's how we learn. And then you learned like, maybe you can give an example though. What did that look like not having boundaries? Just so for, it's just going to help listeners who are curious about this.
The boundaries were good between my wife and I. We just didn't include the third one.
You know, got it. So what happened?
Nothing went wrong or anything. It was just not completed, I guess is the best term.
Got it. Okay. So the second one was good. And so your question is, how do you find someone else?
The other participant, yes.
Okay. So right now you guys are looking for a third and it's just not easy to find. Where have you found them in the past? Have you tried apps or have you tried just going out together?
Yeah, apps are not too good for me. I don't think I haven't been too successful. This was in a club that we found that we'll call her an entertainer.
Okay, got it. All right, an entertainer. I understand. Okay, so she was already there, ready to play. That was kind of easy to find. I know you're saying the apps have not been successful. I know once you start to get the profile down and kind of get a hang of it, you might find somebody there. But also like finding like lifestyle parties or play parties in your area and just going. There's no like pressure to have sex with anybody there, but couples go to these parties and you'll find like-minded people. A lot of times play parties have couples and single women and you can go there and see if you meet people. So really it's finding other people who are interested in the lifestyle or looking at more alternative relationships.
We've talked about them. We hadn't tried them yet. So
that's okay. I recommend them, you know, because that's just how you just got to go to one, right? And you'll meet people, you know, people say, oh, this is a good one. This one isn't a great one. Or come to our house. We're doing it. Like, I think you just got to get yourself out there in the community and talk about it. Set boundaries with everybody before. And, you know, sounds like you guys are going to, I'm sure you'll find some other people.
Should be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me know how it goes.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I get a lot of questions lately about how to find a third, find another couple, how do I play? And, you know, I'm always going to suggest the apps. But if you think about it, how did you make your last friend? How did you make your last connection or get your last job? A lot of times it's out there networking or doing things that you already like doing, whether it's taking a class or or saying yes to parties. Like if people invite you to an event or a party, maybe if it's things that you wouldn't normally say yes to, just go out and say yes to something that you wouldn't normally do. And that's where we're going to find people, doing things in our life, being with people that we enjoy. And that's when we're likely to make connections, people we want to sleep with and people we just want to be friends with. So keep doing the things in your life that make you feel good, that bring you joy, and pretty good bet that you're going to find others who are sharing that passion, who you might also have an attraction to. We have Kelly, 27, in New York. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks so much for having me on. I feel a little starstruck. Me and all my friends listen. For years.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It's so nice to meet you. I'm glad the show's been helpful. Tell me everything.
So I'm not seeing this guy anymore, but I'm still just so curious because I feel like it's happened to me like before in the past too. So I was dating this guy for a few weeks and sex was like good and all, but like I wasn't having an orgasm yet. So I took your advice on like tone, turf, timing. And like I brought it up when we were like having some wine and dinner on the couch, like very calmly, and was just like, you know, like I gave all the compliments. I was like, I really like you. Like you turned me on, like everything you've been doing so far feels so good, but like I haven't come yet. So like, I really want to do that. And like gave some like tips on like what I think that I need. Like I need more foreplay. Like I need you to play with my clit more. And his response, like his tone wasn't like angry or anything. Like it was still a calm conversation, but he was so adamantly saying that he would never be able to make me come. And I was like, I don't understand why you feel that way. Like, we're still getting to know each other. Like, I know we can get there. And he was just so adamantly saying that he could not.
What do you mean? He was like, back up. He was like, you're telling him, you're like, this is what I need. He's like, I'll never make you come like that. Like, don't, I'll never be that guy. Or like,
I'll never be able to do that for you. Like, you're always going to need toys or something else. Like, it's just not going to be me. I know that I won't be able to make you.
It sounds to me like he's had a previous experience where he wasn't able to, you know, make someone come, or his partner wasn't giving him great instructions, or he felt inferior in some way. It probably was not about you. I just, side note, I want everyone to know this, that when you're dating someone and these things happen, or maybe they ghost, or maybe they decide not to see you anymore, it's typically not because of something you said. It's typically because of their past history. But anyway, yeah, like, I don't know, like, to me, he did you a favor because you're like, oh, well, then you're clearly, yeah, you're right. You're not going to be the guy. Like, you don't want to quit her.
No, no, absolutely not. Like, it's too important to me. I was just curious, like, you know, I guess in previous relationships too, like, guys usually want to go for the toys quickly because they do make me come faster. But like, I want the person that I'm with to be able to make me, you know, have an orgasm themselves and like not always have to use toys. I'm not really sure like what I can be doing differently to just be more direct about what I'm looking for, because I feel like I already kind of am.
That's a great question. Well, first, you have to be with someone who's open to feedback and who's open to talking about sex. It sounds like you checked that off a few weeks with this guy and he wasn't your guy. But I think that going forward, it's like, I mean, it's really, it's practice. But just first finding out early on, like, is this someone who's going to be comfortable, like, talking about sex? Are they into your pleasure? And then when you're talking to him, you're like, you know, people always blame me. I listen to Sex with Emily, and I've decided that, like, in my next relationship, I want prioritizing sex to be really important. Like, I want to know, I want to, like, make you come in a way that you've, you know, never imagined. What do you can say? Like, I want to be, like, your best lover. And you're like, yeah, and I want that too. And so, yeah, would you be open to that? Are you cool with that? Like, let's talk about things that make us feel good. You could say, so I really want to figure out how to orgasm with a partner. Would you be down with like exploring with me? And I can show you some things I like. What's your fantasy? What turns you on? And so it just can be more like, I guess it's just more casual. It's a give and take. And like, that's the vibe though. It's like, hey, like, would you want this? I would want that. I mean, sometimes perhaps when you give specific feedback about sex, people do go into their like fight or flight mode. I think oftentimes because people think like, I'm a bad lover, you're going to reject me. It's really hard for people to take feedback sexually. So I think the more chill and neutral you can make the conversations and then kind of get into the specifics is always better. Maybe this happened with this guy, but I think showing him what you like and saying like, would you be open if I moved your hand and showed you what I'm into?
Yeah, it's always a little awkward when you're like just beginning to date somebody to have these conversations because like you're not really sure, still getting to know each other in so many different ways. But I was just so taken aback that this guy was so adamant and I was like, this cannot happen again.
Yeah, that is so strange to me that he was so adamant. All I could think of was a past experience, or he just, I don't know what, like it triggered him in some way. But, and I know it, like this is the other thing, but I like want this so badly for your generation. Like I know that it's awkward and weird. And I know that nobody's talking about it in the second date. No one wants to be that girl or that guy because it's like, oh, we can't. But like, why not? Like, why not find out? Like, do you have a growth mindset around sex? Like, what do I mean by that? Listen to Sex with Emily. Like, do you want to talk about it? Like, do you think sex is important? And I think by your age, like you're right, 27, like you're dating people maybe who've had one relationship. And I just hope that they know enough right now in 2023 that like talking about sex is how you're going to continue to have great sex and understand each other. Partner's not a mind reader. Everyone's different. you're not going to orgasm the same way as their last partner. Their penis doesn't want the same thing as your last partner. Like, I just want this to be like a, let's not make it so awkward so we can find out if we're compatible so we don't spend the next year together and then we talk about it and then I know it was a waste of time. So I don't know the happy medium, but you seem super cool. And I feel like Kelly, you could probably be the one who does this and just start and be like, I know. And you can even admit it. I don't know if people assume like she's really into sex. It's like, no, I'm into like quality sex. I'm into efficiency. So that's the energy around it. But I think the sooner you do it, the quicker you're going to find out if someone's a good match.
Yeah, definitely glad that that conversation happened earlier on in the relationship than
later. Yeah. You know, it hurts at the time, but then you're like, oh, good, favor, on to the next. Like you did, I'm out. So how are you finding people now in New York? How's it going?
I haven't gone on another date since, just like taking some time off for personal, you know, life just always gets in the way, but dating apps is really just like where it's at. I mean, just got to keep going out, trying to meet people in real life, but like, I don't mind the dating apps.
Okay, good. They're fun. They work, right? They work. That's what I always tell people. I'm like, you got to just keep trying them. And one more thing I want to say though, Kelly, going back to this is that, so another great thing in this time that you're just dating is to spend more time on your own, figuring out like, how do I orgasm without a toy? Or how do I think, like next time you're masturbating, how would I explain this to a partner? So it's just a lot easier too. Like think, like pretend there's someone here with me. What am I doing and how would I explain it? So when the next lover comes your way, you'll kind of be practiced more. And you'll be like, let me show you this cool thing I learned. Like it's really fun. Like for me, like I'll show partners I'm with, like, look at this, like, I'll show you, like, how my clitoris swells or my vulva does this when I touch it here, like, look at arousal, like, get them into it, right?
Yeah, I feel like mutual masturbation is probably, like, a really good idea with a partner, so show them exactly what you're looking for.
Exactly. Huge fan. Do that early on. Then they'll learn, right? You don't have to use the words. They'll see what you do. You're watching what he does, and then it's all information.
Great. This is so helpful.
Well, I'm so glad. Yeah, keep me posted. So glad that you listen. Say hi to your friends.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye. Kelly. All right. I love when people show you who they are early on in a relationship so you don't have to spend too much time with them. So first, while it can sting and you're thinking, why doesn't this person want to be with me or why wouldn't they want to try for my orgasm? It hurts for like a little bit, but then you have to look at the big picture and go, okay, on to the next. And so what can we learn about this case, communicating about sex? And I think the more we actually think about what we want, how we're going to explain it, everyone right now, like think about it. If you are, it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship or you're looking for a partner, how can you have a healthy conversation about your sex life today? Or, you know, if you're in a relationship, like what are you not saying right now? What are you hoping your partner's just going to figure out? Because that doesn't happen. And then if you're dating someone new, like, what are you waiting for? Like, I think if you're naked with someone, you've already been naked, which is really friggin' intimate. It's probably time to start talking about what you like doing when you're naked, right? You don't like sit in a restaurant and not talk about the food, right? You don't like, you're like, oh, how was that? Would we want to get Italian again? Would we want to get dessert? Or dessert doesn't really sit well with us sometimes. Like, just like you talk about everything, but sex, we're just like, let's wait until there's a problem or let's wait till like I'm miserable or resentful. No, like do it now. Great time to do it is when you've already been intimate with someone. Or if you're brave, do it before. Find out if they are someone that you is actually interested in being sexually healthy. And being sexually healthy is all about communicating about sex and your desires. So let me tell you about Magic Wand. It is the original wand-style massager, and Time Magazine named it one of the most influential gadgets of the century, okay? If you don't know about the Magic Wand, you got to check it out. There are a few products. There's the original. That's the one you might have heard of when it plugs into the wall. But then they made the rechargeable, which is cordless, and I believe it just as powerful. It has the silicone head, multifunction, variable speeds. They also have the Magic Wand Plus, which has the plug-in power. But let me tell you about the Magic Wand Mini. I'm obsessed with the Mini because the Mini has all the power of the other Magic Wands, but it's minier. It's great for couples play, no matter what your body part. And it is a massager, so you could be giving your partner a massage and use it all over their body. And it also feels great on all those fun nerve endings. check out the magic wand. Go to sexwithemily.com/magic wand. I have an article about all the ways to use the magic wand, which you're going to love, to get you inspired. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.